Walk into any bank branch today and you'll notice something peculiar. It looks almost identical to a bank from 1950. Sure, there are computers instead of ledgers, but the basic experience, waiting in line, talking to a teller, filling out forms, remains stubbornly unchanged. Paul Volcker, former Federal Reserve Chairman, once quipped that the ATM was banking's last great innovation. Think about that for a moment. While music streaming killed record stores, Amazon transformed retail, and smartphones revolutionized communication, banking has been remarkably resistant to change. But that resistance is crumbling. The global financial crisis shattered trust in traditional institutions. Smartphones put financial power in everyone's pocket, and a generation that grew up with Instagram has zero patience for visiting branches. What's happening now isn't just another wave of innovation. It's a complete reimagining of what money and banking could be. Most banks still treat their branch networks as sacred assets, justifying massive real estate investments with claims that customers need face-to-face interactions. Yet branch transactions have been declining 3% annually for years, now accelerating to 5-7% as ATMs and mobile apps handle routine transactions. 2/3 of consumers now shop exclusively online for financial products. Meanwhile, banks continue spending 7.3% of their budgets on IT, twice the industry average, while generating remarkably poor returns. The four largest U.S. banks generated $51 billion in profit with over 1 million employees, roughly $48,517 per employee. Google, Apple, Microsoft, and Oracle delivered $85.2 billion with just 341,777 employees, about $249,285 per employee, over five times more efficient. The difference? Tech companies built for digital revenue generation, while banks digitized primarily for cost reduction. These success stories reveal an uncomfortable truth. Branches exist primarily to justify their own existence. Lending has followed the same structure for 5,000 years. Someone with resources lends to someone who needs them, charging interest. Yet our modern credit system creates a bizarre paradox. Financially responsible people with steady income and minimal debt can't get loans when moving countries because they lack credit history. Traditional credit scoring generates erroneous reports 79% of the time, rewarding regular credit users rather than those who use it sparingly. It's like judging driving ability by miles logged, not safety. Peer-to-peer lending revolutionized this model. Zopa, launched in 2005, connects people with spare money directly to borrowers, eliminating banks. Their default rate? Below 0.8% over 8 years, dramatically better than traditional banks' 3-5%. The secret? Smarter credit modeling combined with human accountability. When you borrow from real people rather than faceless institutions, you feel genuine responsibility. The future of lending isn't about perfecting algorithms. It's about rediscovering the community trust that made lending work for millennia. The best payment technology is invisible. Check usage in America plummeted from $17 billion in 2000 to $5 billion today, yet American payment infrastructure remains outdated. 2/3 of global checks are still written in America, and until 2012, only the US and North Korea hadn't adopted EMV card standards. Then, North Korea adopted it, leaving America alone. Innovators are leapfrogging this stagnation. Ben Milne created Dwella after paying $55,000 yearly in credit card fees on $1.5 million revenue. Dwella now charges just 25 cents per transaction or nothing under $10. PayPal, Square, and Venmo are making payments faster and cheaper. The end game? Payments disappear entirely. Walk into a store, pick up what you need, and leave. Your phone handles payment automatically. Mobile phones are the inflection point, transforming both paying and getting paid while turning everyone into potential merchants. The future isn't defending cash or cards, it's making payment itself irrelevant. Some banks have cracked the code. USA, founded in 1922 for military officers, has grown into a Fortune 100 company with $51 billion in deposits despite having just one physical branch. By 2012, mobile banking handled over 40% of customer interactions. They pioneered mobile check deposits in 2008, offering immediate funds access, an innovation that seemed impossible until someone actually did it. UBank in Australia launched in 2008 during the global financial crisis with zero branches and achieved first-year targets within 6 weeks. They invented ways to verify customer identity online, cross-referencing multiple databases to meet regulatory requirements without branch visits. Within 3 years, UBank reached $10 billion in assets, becoming Australia's ninth largest deposit institution. A growing segment wants efficient banking without marble lobbies. Generation M, the multitasking mobile-first generation, connects through visual platforms, sharing 750 million photos daily. Their decisions come from online advocacy and trusted network recommendations, not in-store experiences. More significantly, educated young adults are opting out of traditional banking, calculating that prepaid cards can be more economical than free checking accounts loaded with punitive overdraft fees. This debanked generation isn't rejecting financial services, they're rejecting the outdated delivery model. Social media initially terrified banks who'd spent decades controlling messaging through advertising. Suddenly, anyone could broadcast complaints to thousands. Yet this shift represents banking's greatest opportunity because banking has always been about relationships. Frank Ileson, Citi's director of global social media, recognized this immediately. After viewing social platforms as threats in 2007, Citi pivoted to become one of the first major U.S. banks with a formal social media team by 2009. ASB Bank in New Zealand demonstrates how smaller institutions can excel, becoming the country's most social bank through authentic engagement despite limited market share. The most powerful moment in social media isn't when your marketing team posts something clever. It's when satisfied customers defend your brand voluntarily. When community members become unprompted advocates, you've achieved something advertising can never buy, genuine trust. This requires fundamental organizational change. Both Citi and ASB changed processes, policies, and products based on social feedback. That responsiveness, that willingness to actually listen and adapt, is what builds credibility in the social age. Physical cash accounts for just 34% of global consumer spending. The uncomfortable truth: all money is virtual and always has been. That paper in your wallet has value only because we collectively agree it does. Central bank backing doesn't make traditional currency inherently more legitimate. It's all ones and zeros, all based on trust. Bitcoin reached a market cap exceeding $12 billion by November 2013, larger than Ghana's and Ukraine's currencies. Regulatory responses have been predictably confused. Thailand's central bank couldn't make Bitcoin legal because existing frameworks couldn't encompass it. China allows consumer trading at their own risk, but prohibits banks from holding it. A Texas court ruled Bitcoin qualifies as money, making it subject to SEC regulation. Yet Judge Mazant noted that broadly outlawing virtual currencies would inadvertently make all non-local currencies illegal, including airline miles. All currencies are essentially virtual, ascribed value only by community trust. Money is relatively recent technology. Physical cash emerged in the 6th to 7th century BC, European paper banknotes in 1661. Bitcoin's innovation was solving the double spend problem through blockchain, eliminating third-party intermediaries. Whether Bitcoin survives is almost beside the point. It proved decentralized, non-national currencies can work. The future of money will be determined by communities deciding what they trust, not central banks clinging to monopoly power. Banking's model is broken. Acquisition costs soar. $350 per checking account, $1,000 for loans, $2,500 for mortgages, while advertising effectiveness plummets. Most checking accounts lose money due to bloated distribution costs and failed cross-selling. Organizational silos destroy value. Product divisions prevent the information sharing needed for relationships. Banks claim to offer advice, yet customers rarely recall receiving any. Today's customers expect tools for better daily decisions, not product pitches. Disruptors target friction-laden processes where incumbents struggle to change. Many banks resist streamlining due to perceived regulatory risks, though the statistical likelihood of problems is minimal compared to smoother experience benefits. Banking faces its most significant shift since the Middle Ages. New roles emerge: data scientists finding value moments, storytellers creating experiences, behaviorists understanding motivations, compliance consultants working creatively, community builders engaging customers. The choice is simple: evolve or become obsolete. Survivors won't have the most branches or biggest budgets. They'll genuinely help customers live better financial lives. Banking was never about money. It was always about trust, relationships, and helping people achieve what matters. Technology is finally catching up to that truth.